scripture for a meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's second letter to his friend and colleague Timothy, chapter 4, beginning with the 9th verse. This is our second lesson for today, this Reformation Sunday. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, there are times when you want to be alone. Like when you're trying to get some work done in a short amount of time. Maybe when you're trying to concentrate or when you desperately need to take a nap. You just want to be left alone. You want to be by yourself. And then there are times when you want people by your side. For instance, when you're fighting a battle. You want soldiers next to you to fight. Or when you're on trial. You want lawyers and other experts in the law to help you through your ordeal. Or maybe when you're sick, possibly dying. You want a group of doctors and nurses with you to help cure you, and you want to be with your friends and family when you go through that difficult situation. At times, however, it may seem as if you're all alone in this world when you don't want to be. You may face many hardships and difficulties in your life, and it may seem as if you're facing them all alone, even if friends and family and lawyers and doctors are with you. Perhaps it's when you face troubles because of your faith. Maybe from friends and family who don't want to anything to do with you because of what you believe. Maybe it's co-workers who maybe mock you a little bit because of your faith. Or maybe it's the government who is trying to pass laws that prohibit you from teaching or defending the truth. It seems as if even though other people are going through these same problems as you, it seems as if you have to face these problems on your own, that no one else can help you. It maybe even seem that God has left you or God is not defending you or taking care of you. So what's the temptation? Well, the temptation is to think that we must fight this battle on our own, that we must rely on our own power and strength to get through the difficult situations in our lives. And then when we realize it's not possible, we fall into despair. Or when we face persecution, when we face troubles and hardships and difficulties because of our faith, the temptation there is just to cave in. To tell ourselves, you know, it doesn't really matter. I don't need this hardship. I don't need this difficulty on top of everything else that I have to face in this life. So you keep your mouth shut. You don't defend the truth, you don't share your faith, or you just cave in under the pressure. That's the temptation that Luther faced at the Diet of Worms. And about 3.5 years before this Diet of Worms is when Luther nailed those 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And he attacked the sale of indulgences, little pieces of paper that you could buy that could get you years off of purgatory. In the years that followed the nailing of those 95 theses, Luther wrote much about teachings and practices of the Catholic Church in comparison to God's Word. He also engaged in debates about what God's Word said with his Roman Catholic counterpart. About a year after he nailed those 95 theses, Pope Leo X issued a papal bull that commanded that Luther admit that he taught false doctrine in 41 out of those 95 theses. Luther responded by publicly burning that piece of paper. So then, the Catholic Church responded in January of 1521 by excommunicating Luther. Not only did this mean that he was outside the Catholic Church, it also made him an outlaw, which said anyone could kill Martin Luther without fear of consequences, and no one was allowed to defend him. And a few months later, in April of 1521, many government officials got together for a month-long meeting in the German city of Worms. They had many things to talk about, both secular and religious, but they decided to add Martin Luther to the agenda, and he was summoned to go to Worms. There, Luther stood before Charles V, the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, the most powerful person in the world, also in front of kings and nobles and other government officials, as well as many of religious officials throughout the world. Luther hoped to debate his teachings, to be able to share the truth. Instead, he was asked two simple questions. Are these your books that we have laid in front of you? And do you recant or take back your teachings? Luther said, those are my books, but I have written more. And as for the second question, he asked for a day to think about his answer. So the next day, April 18th, 1521, Luther once again stood in front of the world's most powerful people, both secular and religious. It was getting late, about 6 p.m., and candles had to be lit so that the two sides could see each other. And they asked Luther those two same questions again. Are these your books, and do you wish to recant? Take back your teachings. Luther said there are three types of books in front of you. The first type, even my enemies and adversaries agree that they are good and agree with what I spoke in them, so it would be foolish to recant those. The second set of books teach God's word, so I cannot take those back. And the third set of books, I am only sorry that I have maybe spoken a little bit too harshly against some individuals, but they were defending an error. So then they asked Luther to give a clear and precise answer to that second question. Do you recant? Do you take back your teaching? To this, Luther replied, unless I can be instructed and convinced with evidence from the Holy Scriptures or with open, clear, and distinct grounds and reasoning, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God, then I cannot and I will not recant, because it is neither safe nor wise to act against conscience. Here I stand. God help me. Amen. About 1,500 years before, the Apostle Paul faced a similar situation. He was arrested in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel, a gospel that the Jews did not appreciate, and they started a riot. So then, after facing many different and various trials, Paul eventually appealed to Caesar. After several years, Paul eventually got to Rome. Now, we are never explicitly and it told us exactly what happened, but Paul alludes to it in our text for today. Paul stood trial, finally in Rome, possibly before Nero, the king, the Caesar, the emperor of the Roman Empire, the most powerful person in the world, also in front of other government officials in Rome. Now, at this trial, Paul would have been able to call upon character witnesses, those who had come to his defense. But no one came to his defense. No one helped him. Like Luther, Luther did have a few companions with him, including a lawyer, but they commanded Luther that he was not allowed to speak through anybody else. Luther was not allowed to speak a written and prepared statement. He essentially was all alone like Paul. As Paul said, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. For whatever reason, all Paul's friends and companions had left him. Standing before Caesar, other government officials, Paul wasn't afraid. He didn't back down. He didn't cower. He didn't run away. He stood in front of the court and stood steadfast in his word. How? Why? Because God was with him. The Lord was at his side. As he wrote to Timothy, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. His friends had left them. His companions had deserted him. No one showed up at his trial to defend him in front of the world's most powerful people. And yet Paul knew he wasn't alone. God was with him. The Lord stood at his side. He gave him strength to face his problems, to face his enemies. Luther could say the same thing. He may have stood before the courts with a lawyer and a couple other companions. He had to defend himself without notes. But Luther had studied God's word. He had spent the night in prayer. He knew the truth. He knew that he taught and defended the truth. He knew that the Lord was at his side. So he stood before the emperor to find the most powerful people in the world and stood true to God and his word. Because he knew that God was with him, that God will watch over him and protect him. Both Paul and Luther had nothing to fear. God was on their side. The God who created the world, the God who takes care of the world, is a God who was at their side. The God who is the King of Kings, the God who is Lord of Lords, the God who moves pieces of the world like a chessboard, is a God who is standing by them and defending them. They knew that the Lord was on their side and that he would continue to be so. As Paul told Timothy, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Like he did with Daniel in the lion's den, as we read in our first lesson for today, God defended his servant when he stood up and defended the truth. So they had nothing to fear. They could boldly stand before their enemies and defend the truth of the gospel. You see, both Paul and Luther knew something that neither Nero nor Charles V nor any other government officials knew. The truth of the gospel. That we are saved by God's grace in his Son, Jesus Christ, which is received through faith in him alone. That it is not because of who we are or what we have done or can do that we are saved, but only on Christ that we are saved. It is Christ who lived a perfect life as both God and man that we could not live. That he gave up that perfect life on the cross as he took our sins upon himself and gave us his perfect life. And 3 days after his death, he rose from the dead. And he gives that victory over sin, death, and the devil to us. So that on account of Christ, not on our account, God looks at us and declares us not guilty because of what our Savior has done for us. Because of what Christ had done, Paul and Luther both knew what would happen to them when they died, whether it was then or many years later. As Paul said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Their salvation did not depend on them, but on Christ. So they knew that no matter what happened to them, whether they're attacked and killed then or many years down the line, they knew that they would live in heaven forever. They knew that in heaven they'd be better off than any time on earth. So they had nothing to fear. Either they keep on continuing spreading the gospel and defending the truth, or they will be with their Savior. So they had no worries, no doubts, no second guessing, because the Lord was with them. Martin Luther stood before the world's most powerful people. And they had a truth to share, a truth of the gospel, salvation by grace through faith, apart from works. That's the saving message of the gospel. A message that the world needs to hear. So Paul and Luther put their lives on the line. They stood true to God's word so that they can give a clear confession to the truth. Not only in front of the world's leaders, but that so they could live longer and share the gospel with others. As Paul says in verse 17, "The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed to all the Gentiles who might hear." We too can stay strong and steadfast to the word because the Lord is at your side. No matter what the people of this world might think of you, no matter what they might try to do with you, it may seem as if you're all alone. It may seem as if you have to face all your hardships and difficulties by yourself. But the Lord is at your side. He watches over you and protects you. As we just sang in the 46th Psalm, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's no reason to fear. You can stand strong in the truth and in your faith, knowing that the crown of life awaits. God is with you throughout your life, and more importantly, God is with you through your eternal life. Because you can't win the battle against sin, death, and the devil on your own, Christ did it for you. It is through Him and through Him alone that you are saved. So there is nothing to fear. Through Christ, you will live in heaven forever. And those who stand firm to the end will be saved. That's the truth of the gospel. That both Paul and Martin Luther risked their lives to spread and to defend. It is that truth and that truth alone which gives faith, which receives God's grace of salvation. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now join in confessing our faith using the word of the Apostles' Creed as found on page 41. The front part of your hymnals.